Hey, we're glad to have you all here. If you smell the fish, my sacristy smelled like I was selling fish in there. It was a great time last night. We had a wonderful Holy Supper. The reading, you know, I always, when people would ask me, they would say, how come on the Nativity liturgy they read that gospel and not Jesus being born? My answer is because the church presupposes you were there for all the other services when those gospels were read. It's always the church's idea that gospel readings were always a continuous thing, and that we would be present to hear all of these and put them together. And I'm glad to have you here. Having prepared ourselves for the celebration of the Nativity by fasting and by prayer, by reflecting on hopefully the four reasons that Jesus came into the world, which was the centerpiece of the four-part series of sermons I gave, we now come ready to celebrate. So you see the Philip's fast, Philipophka was a great benefit. I hope you see that to us, because now we could set aside those earthly cares. We can be more focused and more in tune with what it really means to celebrate the Nativity. For Tandova, this is a great experience, right? She said this is the first time in her life she celebrated Nativity on December 25th. Okay? See, we'll have this all done when we bless water. Okay? I decided, instead of giving you another homily, that I would read to you the letter that Vladika sent for the Nativity. And he writes thus, "Dearly beloved in Christ," and he quotes from Ephesians, the second chapter, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." The Archbishop then writes, "The preceding scriptural passage is read on the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, this year, November 11th, the Sunday prior to the beginning of the Philip's fast. St. Paul is describing a most significant aspect of the Incarnation. The enmity between nations and people of different races, taken for granted as something natural and actually sanctioned by, quote, religion, was destroyed by the Incarnation, the entrance of God himself into time, into human history. The Incarnation is the great turning point of history. Even the secular world marks its time before Christ, B.C., and Anno Domini, A.D., the year of our Lord. Time, since Christ, is the modern era. 20th century man likes to think of his century as the truly modern one, and of deep concerns for equality and justice as being products of his time. Yet all that is said now about these concepts was said many centuries ago by Jesus Christ himself, and society is only beginning to catch up with his, quote, advanced ideas. Racial equality, brotherhood among nations and peoples, integration, these are ideas that one hears expressed continually in our day, and many, even some Christians, regard them as foreign to the teachings of the church. The fact is that Christians themselves have obstructed and distorted the fundamental characteristics of the new life that God incarnate gave to the world. Religion has been, historically, the sanctifier of national differences. The faith often has coincided with the boundaries of the nation, and unfortunately, Christian communities have been strongholds of ethno-religiosity, national faith ideas. One radical misunderstanding of Christians of their own faith is particularly responsible for this attitude. Christianity is often thought of as one of so many religions when the truth is that Christianity is not a religion in the usual sense of the word. It is above religion. Christ came to complete and to crown religion. It is the new life of Christ, the worship of God in spirit and in truth. Unaided by direct revelation, man's relationship to God found its expression in, quote, religion. Yet when the fullness of time was come and God entered into the world, the real nature of that relationship was revealed. This revealed relationship then is a, quote, super religion, above and beyond all pietistic systems devised by man, the end toward which all religion was directed. However, throughout Christian history, there has been those who would force Christianity into the mold of traditional religion and make of it one more competitor for man's loyalty. Even in our own church, by historical accident, the faith has been identified with nationalities. It is particularly sad that Christians have not taken the initiative and, being true to their nature, broken down the walls of partition. It is tragic that Christians have identified themselves with the old idea of religion as the separator of mankind. Due in part to this misunderstanding, a large-scale abandonment of the church was seen in years past, and it is evident even to this day. In reality, faith in Christ is the force of unification and could solve the world's problems. All these things which captivates men's minds in our day, peace, brotherhood, equality, social justice, have their origin in the teachings of Jesus Christ. The church has always prayed for the union of all men in the liturgy because she is convinced that God so wills it. Tragically, when men speak now of peace, brotherhood, equality, and social justice, they offer humanism as the only basis for these ideas. The unity and peace of which Paul spoke are unity and peace that only Christ can give. And this is exactly that what faith in Christ leads to. Unity and peace on any other foundation only leads to further chaos and wider gulfs of separation. We Christians must re-examine ourselves and allow ourselves to be united, indeed reconciled to one another in Christ. We could start by removing, with God's help, all enmity and ill will that exists among ourselves. We must consciously make ours the following characteristic measures by which we can judge just how close we are to Christ. Quote, do unto others as we would have them do unto us, end quote. Quote, forgive men their debts, just as our Heavenly Father forgives our debts, end quote. No matter how chaotic the world may be, no matter how much hatred and bitterness that exists among men, we know that when men take seriously God's commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, the influence and effect of that love is so great that it can again overcome the world. With love in Christ, Dimitri, Archbishop of Dallas in the Diocese of the South. Let us then, having prepared ourselves for the Nativity, take the message of Christ, that all peoples are one, that he came to save the world, and bring it out into that world. So desperately do they need to hear it, and for us to practice it in the world, for so desperately do they need an example of its implication. Christ is born.
Glorify him.